I think, like me, John was hearing the story of the guy on the trampoline, drunk with his beer. He was not from Barnsley. No bad guy from Barnsley would risk spilling his beer on a trampoline. It just would not happen. It's not going to happen. Thank you, Chris, for that. John and Margaret lead an amazing church in Retford. We love what they're doing. They're inspiring in what they're doing. They have a kind of... they're apostolic in what they do, but in a sense, in the way they're touching not just the church and the wider church and influencing church, but the community that they're in. I don't know whether John or Margaret will say anything about that, but I just want to say they're great friends. And when you sit with them, and we chat, I was down there a few weeks ago, when they ask questions about church and about you and about life, they mean it. And they mean it because they're excited about the kingdom of God and people matter. And so I just want you to give these people the most massive Hope House welcome. Because these people love the Lord, they're here to serve us and to bless us, and I just know that they will. So, John, you are really welcome.
Well, I just want to set the record straight. I'm from Barnsley, Margaret's not. She's from Wakefield. She's posher than me. I'm a bit of rough. Yeah, it's a real joy to be back here. I'm from Wisborough Bridge. I'm a brigger. Thank you. I love water. How long did it take Jesus to turn water into wine? Instantly. It takes me 4 hours to change it back. You'll get that at dinner time. It'll tumble. You thought, the dirty devil, how dare he say that? Right. Well, I dare because I'm from Brig. I'm a Wisborough brigger. I got saved at Ward Green Baptist Church. I remember the day Paul got saved in Blucher Street. And I remember going to a big meeting in Pitt Street when I was about 16, 17. It was a big meeting about church unity. And it was the most boring thing I'd ever been to. And I sat on the stage. And all the meeting were going on down. And I'm sat on the stage listening to this. And then they were talking about, what can we do for young people? And I remember just shouting out, you need to get off your backsides. You need to do coffee bars, rock bands, films and things like that. And they all looked at this young lad from Ward Green and they said, okay then, you do it. And we did it. We did it. And we pioneered schools work in Barnsley. We did meetings in Blucher Street and the YMCA. We put the Christian back into the YMCA. And those were fantastic days. It was part of a rock band. Two rock bands, actually. One called Calvary Road. And then one called Jacob's Ladder. And is it Heather? Helen. She was a roadie. Weren't you a roadie for Jacob's Ladder? I had hair in those days. Actually, I still do have hair. It's not where I want it, but there you go. But they were great days. They were great days. And it's such an honor. This is the... started. To be here, which is just a few yards away from where we pioneered Barnsley Youth for Christ all them days ago. And I just want to declare over this place, because I've had the tour around and I said to Julie, man, what we could have done with this in those Youth for Christ days in the early 70s, it would have been fantastic, but you can do it now. Yeah. Let me rephrase that. You must do it now. You must do it now. And as you've repainted all the black walls, the internal walls of this place, and you've put colour back into the place, so the Lord wants you to repaint the external walls and the internal walls of people's lives in Barnsley and bring colour and hope and life into their hearts. And I was just sat there thinking, and I'm sure greater guys and ladies than me have said this kind of thing over you, but I want to just underline it as well. My dad was a coal miner. His dad was a coal miner. My granddads on both sides were coal miners. In fact, my dad still holds the record of being the fastest man in pit clogs over 100 yards. He fell down shaft. But coal is a raw product. Yeah, your lunchtimes will be spoilt with these jokes, because it takes our church about 3 weeks to get my jokes. But coal is a raw product that in the right time and the right circumstances becomes a diamond. Something very, very precious. And the world, well, the nation, has often looked at Barnsley and it's been a joke. But listen, it's not a joke in the eyes of God. It really isn't. It really isn't. And God wants you to be the shining light of a diamond. And I'm so thrilled to be here, to see it still continuing from all those years ago. My heart goes out to the tech team. I know what it's like. It's terrible. Paul used to be our tech guy on Jacob's Ladder. He would never stand at the front. Just to see him at the front now in leadership is fantastic. He was our PA guy all those years ago. He used to make us look good or bad, depending on what mood he were in, by controlling everything. But I love, how can I put it? I love things going wrong because God shows his glory by making things go right. And I left school. I used to go to Whitecross Secondary Modern, you know, just ordinary school in Worsborough. I left without any O-levels. I just had a couple of CSEs, and yet God's called me to lead church. It's amazing. God can do anything with anybody if we're willing to surrender our hearts and our lives to him. I've even been to Oxford University without applying for it. In fact, when I went, I didn't even know I were going to Oxford University. I just thought I were going to a college to be trained to be a Baptist minister in Oxford. If they'd have told me that I was going to Oxford University, I wouldn't have gone. I really would not have gone. Because I'm just this lad from Whitecross, from Worsbury Bridge, from Ward Green. There's no way I'd have gone, and they got me there by stealth. And God can do anything that he wants with anybody that he wants to. And I love, because I call myself a failed hero. And I love stories about failed heroes. Here's the worst bank robbery ever. In August 1975, three men were on their way in to rob the Royal Bank of Scotland at Rothesay, but they got stuck in the revolving doors. They had to be helped free by the staff, and after thanking everyone, they sheepishly left the building. A few minutes later, they returned and announced their intention of robbing the bank, but none of the staff believed them. When they demanded £5,000 in cash, the head cashier laughed at them, convinced it was a practical joke. So to convince them it wasn't, one of the men jumped over the counter, but fell to the floor, clutching his ankle because he broke it. The other two tried to make their getaway, but they got stuck in the revolving doors. I just love that, because we're still telling their story. We've all a story to tell. I love the testimonies about the NHS. I love the NHS. Stands for Now, Holy Spirit, Do Your Thing. And that's what we've got to make it. Now, Holy Spirit, Do Your Thing. I want to read from the book of the Acts of the Apostles. I want to read just after the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, when people gathered around and they wanted to know what was happening. And Peter stands up and says, look, these men are not drunk, as you suppose. About time the church got drunk, though, don't you think? Amen. Not drunk in wine or drunk in the Spirit, but drunk in the power of the Holy Spirit. I used to live opposite a working men's club, so I know what drunkenness is all about. In fact, my dad is... This site used to be the old Liberal Club. Over there, my dad was a member of the Liberal Club. He was a member of seven working men's clubs all the way around Barnsley, because that's how he used to get us day trips every year. Working men's club outings. But I used to watch the men coming out of Barrow Working Men's Club and they were drunk. And it's amazing that when they were drunk, their character completely changed. My dad, who was stern and severe, he'd be a little bit happier, you know. And I remember on one occasion when one of his work colleagues retired and they all went down to the wharf, I think it was, down Worsbury Bridge, and they all bought around, 18 of them. So my dad came back absolutely bladdered, as it were, and he leant on the kitchen wall, and he started to slide down the kitchen wall, but he took his wallet out and started handing fivers out to everybody. I remember seeing one man walk out of Barrow Working Men's Club and hit a lamppost, and he said, "Sorry, sir." And often, I used to see him stand underneath that lamppost and sing. And it's amazing that when they were drunk, the things that they used to sing things like, "On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross," or the 23rd Psalm, or "Old Shep was a dog." But let's go back to the hymns. And it's as if there is something that is within that is released when people are intoxicated. Generosity. The willingness to suffer but not feel pain. And a worship that is heart to heart and spirit to spirit. And the church needs to be drunk with the Spirit. So we're oblivious to personal pain. That we become the most generous people on earth. I love teaching about giving, but it's very hard doing it in my own church. But we should be the most generous people on earth. Yeah. Tithing should never cause any issues because it's the very minimum of what God desires from us. I can hear a few wallets being zipped up right now, so I'll move on. God wants us to be frivolous. He wants us to be generous. And they were accused of being drunk. And Peter says, "No, they're not drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning." And then he goes on to say this, Acts 2:22. "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to God, to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did amongst you through him, as you yourselves know." We've taken that verse on as a prophetic verse to our town. You might not be able to see it, but I've got a little bit of a caterpillar over the top lip. I started growing this on the 1st of November for Movember, when all the nation is considering and thinking about men's, what is it, prostate and cancer and things like that. Well, what we're doing in our town of Retford, we've changed Movember into Nowember. And we've got an 8-foot by 4-foot banner outside our church saying, "Nowember, come and receive your prayers for healing now." And throughout the month of November, we're putting our heads on the block to pray for the healing power of Jesus to touch our community. We're inviting them in every Sunday, every service, and we have 3 services on a Sunday. We've put some little, it's not our ecclesiology, but we've put some little white Christmas trees with lights on each side of the platform. And we're inviting the members of the community to come and just write their name or the name of their loved one that they would value for prayer. We've got some candles again. It's not our ecclesiology, but we're doing it because we want to make connection with a people that do have a spiritual identity that we just need to see released. And so they're coming and they're lighting candles and people are saying, "Have you become Catholic?" "No, we just want to connect. That's all we want to do." And last Sunday when we launched Nowember, we had a dedication party in, and it was about 20 or 30 non-Christian members of the family that came. And you know, 90% of those came forward and wrote on these cards and put their names on what we're calling our prayer tree. We want to pray for people to be healed. We want to pray now. Holy Spirit, do your thing, do your stuff, and do it through me and through us. I've got 3 points this morning. I'll tell you what they are in case I don't cover them, okay? Because what I want to do at some point is release some spiritual activation. I want you to get up and start doing things. So if you're worried about that and you want to leave, you better leave now. All right, nobody's left, so we're going to go for it. Okay? So these are my 3 points. I want to talk about the man. I want to talk about his message. And I want to talk about his method. Who is the man? The man is Jesus. Jesus was a man accredited to you. Not a God, he was a man accredited to you. Yes, Jesus was God. He's the Son of God. He's the 3rd person of the Trinity. But when he came to earth, as we're going to be celebrating it in 5-6 weeks' time, the little baby, he came as a man. He didn't come as a god. He didn't come as a superhero. He came as a baby. Scripture says he left everything in heaven. He gave up his divinity and he came to earth to live amongst us as a man. Jesus Christ was a man just as you and I are men and women. But we're man, male and female. God created him man, male and female he created him. So any reference to man or brother is reference to the whole body of Christ, male or female. Jesus was a man. This is so important that we grasp this. As a leader, I take it on my shoulders that I will never ever ask people to do what I myself am not prepared to do. I think that is good servant-hearted leadership. Who's the perfect servant-hearted leader that's ever walked this planet? Jesus. And he will never ask us to do what he himself, as a man, is not prepared to do. And as a man, Jesus prayed for the sick. As a man, Jesus healed the sick. That's why he can say that, as I do, so I want you to do. But he promised to us that it would be when the Holy Spirit came that we would be able to do this. And Jesus called together 12 men. He called them apostles or disciples. And then he called others and sent them out in pairs, 72 at one time. And he gave them the same commission to preach the gospel, to heal the sick, to cast out demons. And guess what? That's the challenge for you and me today. In fact, it's not a challenge, it's a command. While I speak about commands, let me just say one thing about baptism. Those of you who are still thinking about baptism, stop thinking. Do it. Just do it. It's not your right to think, should I or should I not? It's your right to obey the commands of Jesus. There you are, I'll not be coming back now for another 30 years. But stop weighing it up, stop thinking about it, and just obey and do it. You see, Jesus never wanted to produce Christians. The first followers of Jesus were not called Christians, they were called people of the way. Jesus said, I will call you to make disciples. We are meant to be disciples, not Christians. You see, you can be a Christian but not a disciple. How do I know that? Because there are loads of churches not doing the things that Jesus wants them to do. A disciple will do what Jesus wants to do. A disciple is an obedient follower. No matter what, I will go through it, thick or through thin. I'm called to be obedient. I may look at it, I may reason it, I may struggle with the reason, but at the end of the day, I am called to be obedient. Jesus came and he was obedient unto death. Well, we begin our Christian life by dying to self, don't we? That's what baptism represents. We've died, we're being raised, we're living a new life. We're not called to be Christians, we're called to be disciples. Every disciple of Christ is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. Jesus was a man, just as you and I are man. What he did, we can do. How do we know we can do what he did? Because in the Acts of the Apostles, we read that that's exactly what the disciples did, what the apostles did. I love action movies, and particularly American ones. And whenever it gets really, really tense, they send for the SWAT team, don't they? And they have the black t-shirts, and it's a SWAT on the back. It stands for Serious Weapons and Tactics. Do you know what our world needs today? Do you know what Barnsley needs today? It needs God's SWAT teams to enter into communities, areas, societies, and families. But I'm changing the letters from SWAT to SWAM. SWAM. Signs, wonders, and miracles. Signs, wonders, and miracles. He was a man accredited to you by God with miracles, wonders, and signs. Now, I joked earlier, didn't I, that I left school without O-levels, without A-levels. Still haven't got an O-level or an A-level. But I'm not accredited by an education system. I'm not accredited by a denomination. I do have BA behind my name, born again. That's my accreditation. A call from God to be what God wants me to be. In the Old Testament, God used an ass to speak to Balaam. He's using another ass to speak to you this morning. But I don't care. I'm getting Margaret saying, were you saying shh then?
No, no.
Oh, shh. Bad joke. Shh, shh. Yeah, there you go. Too many. He was a man. Okay, can I leave it at that? He was a man. I was going to go back into Genesis. And no, we'll do that in the next. The message. Jesus preached a message. From that time on, Matthew 4:17, he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God is near. Now, if it was near then, 2,000 years ago, how much nearer is it now? It's a lot nearer now if it was near 2,000 years ago. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is near. He taught his disciples to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus will never ask us to do that which we cannot do. And he told us to pray that the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. So that means it's possible. It really is possible that the kingdom can break through, because the kingdom is near, and it's nearer now than it was 2,000 years ago. We just need our eyes to open and to see how near it is. Elsewhere in Scripture, it speaks about a veil. It's just a thin veil. And sometimes we see beyond the veil. Sometimes our heart responds and our spirit responds, and we feel that we're in the presence of the heavenly. One of the reasons I never wanted to be, don't know why I'm looking at my wrist, it's up there. I never wanted to be a Baptist minister or a minister of anything, is because I was frightened of death. I was frightened of dealing with death and dealing with people who were dying. But do you know now, I love being with my people at the point of transition. Because that's all it is, transition. The Sally Army have got it right when they say it's promotion to glory. And there have been times when I've been in the presence with the families when it's literally like, as a shepherd, I feel I'm just saying, Jesus, you're the good shepherd. Here's your sheep. And you're in the presence of the kingdom of God. You're in the presence of heaven. But it can be like that on earth even before death. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What is the kingdom? The kingdom is the will of God. It's the rule of God. Is it God's will that any man should suffer? No. All that's as a result of the fall. God doesn't send any disease or sickness or tragedy upon us. It's all as a result of the fall. It's a mystery. It's a mystery. But here's the truth. There is a man in heaven interceding now on our behalf. And there are times when that man in heaven who's seated at the right hand of God the Father gets up from his seat. One of those times is when Stephen was being stoned and he looked into heaven and he saw Jesus. It says he saw the glory of God and he saw Jesus stood up peering down at him. I believe this November, when our church, and it's our church that are doing this, we've not invited in the guest speaker to do this. We've not invited in the Jared Coopers or the Jonathan Conraiths or the Todd, what's his name? Roy Todd people. We've done that in the past. And guess what? We've seen an amount of success. But this time we've said as a church, we're just going to do it as ordinary men and women who believe in Jesus Christ. So this is the second Sunday of doing it, and I'm not there. Next Sunday, I won't be there. I'm in Scunthorpe. But it doesn't matter. It doesn't need me to be there. It just needs the NHS, now Holy Spirit. Come and do your thing, as your people will be obedient unto that which you want to do. Signs, wonders, and miracles. When I challenged the church to this, one or two people said, what happens if God doesn't turn up? I said, he turns up every Sunday, doesn't he? He raises the dead every Sunday. I see it as I preach. I see your eyes just becoming alive again. When Paul was saying about the youth, oh, when can we do this again? I thought, well, if you're leaving me near, they'll do it again as soon as I'm preaching. The sleepover. Failure is not that they are not healed. Failure is that we don't pray for them to be healed. Whether they're healed or not is his responsibility. Our commission is to pray. Is to pray. Is to pray. While we were preparing the church for this, I practiced on them. I said, now, this is how we're going to do it. We're going to offer people opportunity to come to the front if they want. We have to our left, or my left, your right, we call it a prayer square. Every Sunday, anybody can sit in there and receive prayer for healing at any time during the service. The notices, during the time that the preacher's preaching, because we're committed to praying for healing. Every Sunday that happens. So I said, well, they can come to the front, they can go there, but guess what? You're going to be the ones who are going to pray for them. Or we might just ask them to stand, and the person next to you, you've got to pray. Why? Because this is a church thing. It's got to be anonymous apart from God, so that God gets all the glory and all the praise. So we had a little trial. We have two services, 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. We tried it at 9 o'clock. 20 people stood. We prayed for them. We tried it at 11 o'clock. About 70, 80 people stood. We prayed for them. At both services, after the prayer, I asked this question. Now that you've received prayer for your healing, be it physical or emotional or mental, let me just say this, there's no difference between a broken mind and a broken leg. We shouldn't treat it any differently. No, there's no stigma. Treat it no differently. Whether the body is broken or the soul is broken, there needs to be healing. So we prayed for the bodies, we prayed for the soul, we prayed for the mind. And I asked this question to both the 20 and the 60 that stood, 70 that stood at the two services. Now that you've received prayer, put your hands up if you feel worse. Guess what? Nobody put their hand up. Ka-ching! Hallelujah! 100% success! I'm a miracle worker. Then I said, put your hands up if in any way from a 0 to 10 you felt better. Every hand went up. So then we began to say, well, how do you feel better? We didn't have a lot of time to do this, so I had to do this very, very quickly. But most people said this. Either the pain was being reduced, or it feels so good to have people pray for me. I don't feel I'm on my own anymore. I don't feel isolated. I feel valued. Yeah. Now, friends, that was to the church. What if we offered that to the world? That they felt valued. That they felt loved, cared for. Listen, God turns up every Sunday. The very fact that you're willing to pray for an unbeliever is God turning up. The results, the other results, we leave to him. But guess what? We're going for those as well. We really are going for those as well. I think it was Whitfield said to Wesley about baptism in the Holy Spirit, because Wesley was not experiencing it himself. I think Whitfield said to him, preach it till you get it. Preach it till you get it. I said this, I'm going to preach it, I'm going to teach it, I'm going to reach for it until I get it. Because if I don't do any of those things, I will never get it. I will never get it. And we have seen over the years some measures of success, but guess what? We want to see even more. I've merged one and two and three together because I'm already talking about his method, the method of Jesus. It says in the Acts of the Apostles that Jesus went about doing two things, doing good and healing the sick. The church is great at doing good. We are fantastic at doing good as a church. We do all sorts of community work, outreach work, Christians Against Poverty, Christians Against Poverty, Job Club, Food Bank, all sorts of doing good. But we need to do more than good. We need to do the God stuff that is within the good. We need to do the God stuff that is within the good. And by doing Nowvember, we're literally saying as a church, we can't do this without the power and the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And so we've got to do it. The man, Jesus, a man just as you and I are. He came to show us how man should be. Adam should have had that responsibility, but Adam flunked it. Now, let me say this, Adam flunked it. I want to apologize to all femininity for 2,000 years of Christianity where men have put women down. Oh, it's because of Eve. Adam was there. Adam allowed her to do it. Probably nudged her along the way. Let me say one other thing before I go any further, because I like to be controversial. God never makes a mistake. So when he created Adam, he didn't make a mistake and think, I've now got to rectify this and create Eve. He knew all along, because God doesn't make mistakes. So when he created Adam, and he saw that Adam was not complete, he says he created for him a helpmeet. Ladies, get ready for the good news. Gentlemen, put the stones away. Don't throw your stones at me. This is scripture. The Hebrew for a helpmeet there is the word ezer. So God created an ezer for the geezer. But ladies, the word ezer means this. One superior to. One superior to. And I've known that for 30 odd years of marriage. I am the head of my house, and I've got my wife's permission to say so. She always lets me have the last word, and it's always yes, dear. You'll get that at lunchtime. We have a man who came to show us how man was created to be. What task were Adam and Eve given? To rule and bring dominion upon the earth. You know, some of us read the scripture and we think that when God created the whole world was perfect. No, it wasn't. The garden was perfect. Adam and Eve then had to go and subdue and bring the dominion, the rule of God over the whole of creation. And that's our task today. And Jesus came to show us that we can do it in and through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the man. His method, preaching the kingdom. The will of God always. Should I get baptized or not? What does the kingdom say? It's the will of God. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. His method, he went around doing good and healing the sick. I want you to buy t-shirts and put them on the back. SWAM. Signs, wonders, and miracles. That's the mission of Jesus. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to do a little bit of impartation. Is that okay? And then a bit of activation. Just bow your heads. Father, thank you for our fellowship together. Thank you for the fun that we've had. But I'm praying now for the favor of God. Lord, thank you that failure is just not doing what you've told us to do. And failure is not falling down. Failure is not getting up when we fall down, because we're all going to fall down. Get back on the bike that God declares over you this morning. Get back on the bike. Be the men and women that I created and called you to be, that I redeemed you to be in and through Jesus Christ. So I pray right now for another outflow and outpouring of the Holy Spirit. I pray that you would be filled again, refreshed again to overflowing. Because here's the key. We do not minister out of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, but out of the overflow. Which is why Paul says, be being filled so that you're constantly overflowing. It's out of the overflow that he wants us to minister his good works and signs, wonders, and miracles. So receive afresh this morning his anointing, his power, and fulfill the purpose that God called you to fulfill. Partnering with him, praying the kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, that's the impartation. Now the activation. If you would value this morning prayer for healing, physical or emotional or mental, then would you just stand where you are? Okay? Church, look around. Well, I'm not on the leadership team. I didn't say leadership team. I said church, look around. I'm not on the prayer ministry. I didn't say prayer ministry team. I said church. Are you born again? You're the church. Did you pray the prayer for impartation? You're the church. So what I want you to do now, church, is to move around. This is the activation. Move around this building. Lay your hands gently on these people. And appropriately. Okay? So I prefer men to men, ladies to ladies, where possible. If not, lay hands on the shoulder upon the head. Okay, here's a good tip. I do this even if I'm praying for men now. If they say, well, the problem is my knee or my thigh, I'll say, well, you put your hand on your knee and your thigh, and I put my hand on them. So there's no recrimination in the future. Got to be wise about these things. So church, I release you now. Just walk around, lay hands on these people, pray for them. You can ask them what they want prayer for, but then all I want you to pray is a simple prayer. It's, your kingdom come to this person on earth as it is in heaven, and bring your healing, Lord. And once you've prayed for one, pray for another. And listen, when you've been prayed for, if you feel able, you walk round and pray for somebody else as well. Okay? In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. So you might have to pray for two or three people this morning. And I don't want you to counsel them. You're not counseling. You're just praying. Praying. You are the NHS. You are the now Holy Spirit. And look around, because there's loads of people stood. So you need to do this and move on. you've not received prayer, can you just wave your hands so the other people can... All right, there's no hands waving. Okay. We need to bring this to a close. I've gone way past my time. Okay, let's do the test then, shall we? Now, I know you're Barnsley, so you can joke with me, but I want you to be serious, not joking, right? Because I know what I used to be like, still am. Put your hands up if you feel worse. Look around, church. So nobody feels worse. Nobody's going to complain. Nobody's going to send letters or emails in to Paul or Julie. And listen, if you're thinking of doing that, God says don't. Right? They've enough on the plate without your offense. And you know, offense is something nobody can give you. If I can't say, Margaret, you offended me. It's me that takes offense, so I've taken it. Offenses are like the Ferrero Rocher advert. You know where he has the Ferrero Rochers? He says, oh, would you like a Ferrero Rocher? Oh, Mr. Ambassador, you are treating us. You are spoiling us. That's what offenses are like. The devil brings it along and says, you know how that person treated you, Paul? You can take offense if you want. It's better to forgive than take offense. So no emails to Paul and Julie, right? Send your emails to Stuart Bell at... Okay. How many feel better in some way or another? Put your hands up. Right? How many feels that pain is reduced in any way, shape or form? Put your hands up. Wow. How many have been completely healed? 100%. You see, that don't worry me. Right? You do. Come on, that man needs a microphone. Give him a microphone. Tell us why. Tell us what. Hang on, it'll come on in a minute. It's just, he's got to put 10 pences in gas meter. Go on then.
When I come here, my back was hurting, and every time I moved, I was getting pain shooting down my leg.
And it's gone.
And I can't feel a thing.
I think we need a few hallelujahs. And listen, I don't have any healing ministry at all. All I have is to be obedient to Jesus. And I've said this for years in my church, we will never have a banner outside our church saying, John and Margaret's Miracle Ministries, right? But we will say, the church will pray for you. And that's what's happening in November in Retford. And you've seen it happened here, okay? I just want to pray one other prayer, and you don't have to put your hands up for this because this could be embarrassing, but I want to pray against poverty and a poverty spirit, okay? Because you may think you've got coal in your pocket, but God can see that as a diamond, all right? That's what he does with coal. He transforms it into a diamond. So if you're struggling financially, I just want you to be obedient to God and live in his prosperity. And I want to pray that prayer over you, okay? Because I've come from Barnsley all my life. That's daft, isn't it, what I've just said? I have struggled with a poverty spirit all my life, right? Until God has broken it and broken free. Sometimes I still get a little bit tetchy, and Margaret will always say, buy the best. In fact, Margaret's philosophy is why buy it for threepence when you can pay £3 for it. But that's she needs ministry, but that's beside the point. We balance each other out in the end. We balance each other out. But I remember I could have stayed on for O-levels, right? I joked earlier, but my dad had always talked about no money, no money. And I felt I had to go out and get a job. So I went and applied for a job at Samuel Fox's at Stocksbridge, thinking it were a biscuit factory. I thought, I'm going to enjoy making biscuits and dipping it. It was steelworks. I'm so naive. I am such an idiot, right? But hey, so what? God can use an ass. He doesn't want us to live with a... I'm not talking about this right-wing prosperity gospel kind of thing, but what I'm talking about is that God wants you to be prosperous. He doesn't want his people to be poverty-stricken. He wants you to have daily bread with a bit of cake from time to time. So if that's you, I just want to pray this over you right now. Lord, I just pray for my brothers and sisters from Barnsley, Lord, that are called hope. Well, you can't have hope if you're wondering where the next fiver is going to come from. So I want to break the spiritual dynamic of a poverty spirit over you right now in Jesus' name, that you may become God's generous generals and that God would replenish your larders just as he replenished the oil of the widow in the Old Testament. But he could only replenish it as she used it. So Lord, just fill this church with generosity. And I pray that you would grant them your resources, that you would make your face to shine upon them, that you would prosper them, that you would raise them up to be the prince and princesses that they are to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Bring light and color into their hearts and into their lives. Take the moths from their bank accounts, the moths from their wallets, and replenish it with the gold of the glory of God and the kingdom of God. In Jesus' name, amen. And don't forget, if you get extra loads of money, to remember me, okay? I prayed for you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
Thanks, John. I don't think you realise you've just been speaking right into an issue that we're dealing with, we're looking at. And I know Sue is speaking next week, and I'm going to guarantee you she's going to talk about the presence of the Holy Spirit amongst us and all that he's going to do. I just know that he will. So that's fantastic. Can we give John and Margaret a round of applause again? Really love that ministry. It's good for our God. We really want to honour you. So if you're new to us this morning, it's been great to meet you. We're going to close there. We don't have the band back up. But if you're new to us, we'd love to get to know you. There's our new connections corner across just here. Go and get a little bit of information about us. Spot one of our people in a bright orange T-shirt floating around saying, ask me. You can ask them anything about life. Okay, literally anything. They have the answers to the meaning of life. They know. So if they've got an orange shirt on, grab them. They'll tell you. If you want a tea and coffee, that's going to be great. The kids will be back up in a moment. Let's enjoy that really important, precious, special time of friendship and fellowship afterwards. The talking, the encouraging, the finding out, the stirring, the friendship building. Let's hang around and spend some time together. God's good, isn't he? A round of applause for our Lord, and let's just break then. Amen.